you do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
Welcome to another Death by a Thousand Cuts podcast. My name is Rob Higgins, and I'm hanging out here with my good friends, Neva Chow and Wayno. Say hi to everybody, Neva and Wayno.
Greetings.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
It is December 21st, 2015, and it's still not snowy here in Toronto, so...
Loving that.
Congratulations. I'd like to kick things off this week by saying a couple of good things. But the Colorado Avalanche, Semyon Varlamov in particular, and I guess we could file everything in the next 25 minutes or so under cherry picking.
Yes!
December 21st, 2015, cherry picking, kicking it off with Semyon Varlamov. Semyon Varlamov. Wayno, dude's got a 2.0 goaltender HFI since November 8th. There are only four goaltenders in the NHL that can say they have a 2.0 or better goaltender HFI. They are Rask, rocking a 2.3. He's got 10 wins, 3 shutouts, a .942 save percentage since November 8th. Crawford from Chicago. It's got a 2.1 goalie HFI, 12 wins, 3 shutouts, a .933 save percentage since November 8th. Holtby, rocking a 2.0 territory goaltender HFI, 13 wins, 1 shutout, .939 save percentage. And who's hanging with those guys? Semyon Varlamov. He had 3 wins in his first 10 games played, brutal start. Everyone that owned him out of the gate knows how painful it was. Well, he's got 9 wins in his last 12. And Semyon Varlamov is once again the $6 million man that you want to be associated with.
That's for sure. 6 wins in a row. 8-10.
Is that what it is now? 6 wins in a row?
6 in a row for him. Game starts.
5 goals against.
Yeah, he's...
What's that?
5 goals against in the last 6 wins.
He's been everything you thought you were going to get before you dropped him.
Well, if you pay attention to the forward depth in Colorado, it seems to be that Martinson-Soderberg line is, with Blake Como, is starting to make things go there. So maybe they have a legitimate top six working now, and you have to like what they've done with their blue line with the reinforcement of Beauchemin. We'll get into some of that a little later on, but blue line seems a little more stable. The forward group seems to be developing some confidence. And if you hear the comments coming from the players themselves after these victories, they're starting to feel it. So if you can make a move on a guy like Varlamov, now would be the time to do it, if it's not too late already. Another player on the cherry-picking list, and obviously not news to anyone that this file is an elite one, especially from an intangible perspective.
Very nice.
But give it up to Patrice Bergeron for the cold, hard numbers of it all. He's rocking a 2.5 HFI as a forward, obviously. And the top 25 to 30 forward HFIs every year are usually between 2.0 and 3.0, with the exception climbing over 3 into super elite territory. But Patrice Bergeron is rocking a 2.5 since the 8th of November. That's 5th best in the NHL, and he's done it with 20 points in 19 games. He's got 7 goals on 68 shots. He's a plus 10. He's got 8 power play points. Wayno, only Kane, who's been rocking a 3.1 since the 8th of November. Ben at 3.0. Sagan at 2.7, and Daniel Sedin at 2.6, which I still can't believe, have a better HFI than Patrice Bergeron. He's up to 32 points in 32 games now, and he has never been a point-per-game player.
He's been fantastic.
And at 30 years of age, we're talking about a career year here. He's only been a 2.0 or more HFI once in his career, and that was all the way back in the first year after the lockout, or when everybody came back in 05-06, 2.1 in that year. So for him to be rocking a 2.4, 2.5 territory HFI at the age of 30 is pretty remarkable. So try to back engineer it and figure out what the difference is. Well, it may have something to do with the fact that he's got 16 power play points this year already. Waino, he had 14 in all of 81 games last year.
Wow.
He's already got 16 this year. He had 11 in the 80 games before that. So clearly he's getting some of the power play looks that he used to get. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of his career, back in 06-07, he had 38 power play points. Well, that was a year he had 70 points in 77 games. He was nearly a point per game player that year. Ironically, a minus 28 that year.
Ooh.
The guy known for being Mr. Plus Minus, he's a career 100 plus 120. He was a minus 28 that year. It was his only minus season, actually, on his career record. But he had 38 power play points that year. He used to rack up the power play points. And obviously, his situation changed. Well, Patrice Bergeron is racking up power play points again, Waino.
He sure is.
Another guy who's starting to get a few power play points, who wasn't getting them before, is Leo Komarov of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Just keeps doing it.
Well, you know, I heard people locally wondering why Babcock seems to like him so much and why he leans on him the way he does. But, I mean, you know, in Detroit, they've always had a guy like the Mule or Abdelkader now who gets the top six role.
Yeah.
Who isn't necessarily a creator or a great skater or a generator of offense, but can play in front of the net, can dig for pucks, and can bang in that greasy stuff. And Leo Komarov has been all that and more for Mike Babcock and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if you want to break it down statistically through the HFI filter, which we use on this podcast, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically something that weighs the entire stats pack, or close to it anyways, and boils it down to a single number that we can reference, and we've been referencing this number, well, I have been personally, for almost 20 years, and we've been using it in various ways ever since. Leo Komarov, a 1.8 since the 8th of November. That is 31st best among skaters in the NHL. 31st. Now, I know that doesn't sound like great shakes, but we are talking about a $3 million signing by the Maple Leafs that many people wondered could even be a top six player for them.
Well, and when you talk about in a little bit of the players that are underneath that number, it makes it even more impressive.
Right? When you look at the fact that since the 8th of November, the 1.8 he's put up, and how has he done it? He's done it with 15 points in 17 games. I mean, that's amazing. He's got 8 goals on 34 shots, 3 power play points, and they've all come fairly recently. He plays shorthanded. He's got one shorty already. He's been a plus player for a Maple Leaf team that has struggled to win at times. But what he's done since the 8th of November is on par with Duncan Keith, who is ridiculous right now, 16 points in his last 19 games. JVR, who is cited as the Leafs' best winger. Patrick Sharp, acquired by the Dallas Stars this season, obviously. Monahan, a guy you might know by the name of Steven Stamkos, a guy that Leafs are pining for, or Leaf fans are pining for here in Toronto. Leo Komarov has been every bit as good as him from a fantasy perspective since the 8th of November. He's been as good as Kuznetsov, who's also been in the 1.8 territory. We're talking about 21 points in 31 games overall, 13 goals, 1.4 this year, but that number is going up. Can he be a 1.7 legitimate? Like, can this 1.8 last over the full season? I'm not sure it can, but bottom line, he's between that 1.4, 1.7 territory player based on the context he has. And as long as he's going to be run out that way, he's going to continue to produce because, based on my own eye test, he plays the game the way Mike wants him to play him. Mike Babcock, that is. And in three partial seasons, we can say statistically that this is a player whose HFI has gone up. And Leo Komarov, welcome to the party.
Yeah, for sure. And he's doing it now with even another coach, and he's assimilated and...
Right, that's a good point.
And done it remarkably. And how much value will he have if he continues to do what he does? And he can be plugged into a contending team's third line or jump into the top six if there's an injury. Like, he could be really valuable, especially with the cap hit he holds. And
yeah, you're right. That's a good point. This is he's a coach's dream, this player.
Yeah.
Plays the game they want him to play. Aaron Ekblad. A lot of hype, obviously, attached to this file. But Wayno, I'm not sure if you realize, if you look at the defensemen, since the 8th of November, Aaron Ekblad's rocking a 1.8 defenseman HFI. That's 10th best in the league, on par with Ristolainen, who we've given tons of love to here on the podcast. Shattenkirk, who's back, got 19 points in his last 20 games. Better than Carlson. That 1.8 belonging to Ekblad is better than John Carlson's HFI since the 8th of November. Weber's. Vatanen's, Doughty's, Roman Josi's, Tyson Berry's, Ryan McDonough's, PK Subban's.
Subban sucks.
Hey, we'll get into that. Aaron Ekblad's got 13 points in his last 20 games, 7 goals on 56 shots. Only two defensemen have more shots on goal since the 8th of November than Aaron Ekblad. Dare to guess? Wayno and Neva, who the defensemen with more shots on goal than Aaron Ekblad are since the 8th of November, excuse me.
I would guess Klingberg.
Nope. I'll give you one. One is Brent Burns, kind of the obvious one because he's been a monster in the shots on goal department all season long. We've talked about it here on the podcast. But the second one did surprise me, I will admit. It's Tory Krug of the Boston Bruins. Anyways, that's where Aaron Ekblad's at. He's getting lots of pucks on net, starting to rack up the points. The goals are going in. He's up to a 1.4 HFI now for a defenseman. And as we said since the beginning of time, you're looking for a 1.7 from your forwards, and you're looking for at least a 1.4 from your defenseman. He was a 1.3 last year as a rookie, all kinds of promise. So as a sophomore, he is now rocking the requisite 1.4 to be included on a winning roster. He's now up to 16-34 on the season, which means he had 1 goal and 3 points in his first 14 games played this year. So his owners that were in love with the file started the season pretty blue. But the bright side is that 11 of his 16 points have come at even strength, including 6 goals. The shots on goal per game totals, our number, is up over last year as well. So Aaron Ekblad is the file that's finally happening for the people that invested in him. Now, someone else that falls into the same type of category is Dougie Hamilton of the Calgary Flames, another blue liner that people invested in based on what happened last year. And lest we forget, last year he had 42 points in 72 games, 10 goals, 15 power play points, and he wasn't necessarily getting all the prime looks either. Well, through this same filter, since the 8th of November, Dougie Hamilton is also rocking the requisite 1.4 HFI, on par with who? Zdeno Chara of the Boston Bruins, who has 11 points in 19 games in that time, and a +7. Also on par with Jared Spurgeon, who's got 9 points in his last 18 and a +9. Dougie Hamilton's up to 12 points in 33 games played now. He had 4 in his first 15 games this season, 8 in his last 18 with a +11 in that time, by the way.
Lots of people gave up on him.
That's right. Only 15 defensemen have more shots on goal since the 8th of November. And the 46 that Dougie Hamilton has put up, or been credited with, I should say, on par with Justin Falk, Keith Yandel, Shea Weber, and the aforementioned Shattenkirk for St. Louis. So Dougie Hamilton, that's a file on the move, bueno.
Yeah, good.
Let's go the opposite direction.
2 minutes by yourself.
Files that are somewhat shameful, if you will.
You feel shame.
We're starting with PK Subban. Direct some shame in the direction of PK.
Oh.
Subban has had one goal since the end of October. In October, he was plus 10. This month, he's minus 2. No goals.
That is shameful.
Pacioretty was plus 11 in October.
Woohoo!
Minus 9 this month.
Oh,
shameful.
See you later. But panic, no goals in 18 games.
PK Subban, some salt in the wound. I'll add to you. I'll pile on to what you had to say here, Neva.
Aww.
He is rocking a 1.2 defenseman HFI since the 8th of November. That is 25th best among defensemen. 18 games played in that time. 0 goals, 9 assists. A minus player. He's only got 4 even strength points in that time. He's the only defenseman in the top 30 HFI in that time with no goals. He had 14 points in his first 16 games to start the season. And now has 1 goal on the year on 87 shots. 1 goal on 87 shots. And where did that goal come? Came on the power play. Why is that so bad? He had 15 goals in 82 games last year on 170 shots. 170 shots produced 15 goals last year. 87 has produced 1 this year. He had, by the completion of regular season play last year, 8 power play goals. His HFI on the season now is around a 1.6. He was a 1.7 last year. He was a 1.4 before that. So when we look at his career through the HFI filter, we're talking about a guy that's only hit the 2.0 mark as a defenseman once. But it was the lockout year. 42 games played. It's a 2.3. He had 38 points in 42 games, 11 goals in that shortened season.
And the love affair began.
And the love affair continues, right? Like,
yes!
Look, when he started the season with 14 points in 16 games, everyone was in love with PK. I was in love with PK.
Yay!
But the numbers suggest, over the course of the season, he'll be that guy that's capable of 50, 60 points, whatever it is he's going to put up. And don't get me wrong, I think he's a fantastic hockey player. But to think that he belongs in the peer group with Erik Karlsson and Klingberg right now, that's not accurate. I wouldn't have him in that peer group. And based on this filter, at least, he belongs in a peer group that's between 1.7 and 2.0. There's a bunch of players in that group. But really, that elite stuff, that 2.0 territory defenseman HFI, which is so hard for guys to hit, which PK has been a part of. He's been part of that conversation to sort of create an expectation that that's realistic. And I think the start of the season spoke to that. People that believed that that was realistic said, see, that's who he is. He's as good as Erik Karlsson. But from a purely pure fantasy perspective, and maybe, you know, in his defense, he's got to do a lot more work right now protecting without Carey Price back there. And he's probably not able to take nearly as many chances without Carey Price back there. But statistically speaking, the defenseman that truly belongs in the conversation with Karlsson and Klingberg as a 2.0 capable defenseman is playing for Carolina.
Falk.
Justin Falk is the new PK Subban. He's got a 1.9 right now, and it's only going up. He's got 17 points in his last 19 games, 7 goals on 47 shots. Karlsson and Klingberg are still rocking that 2.0. They're hanging on to it. Falk is just moving on up, so don't sleep on that. If there's a way you can get a hold of that player, by all means do so. And if there's any way you can stop considering Alex Pietrangelo a bona fide option for your team, also consider that, because right now, statistically speaking, he is not a bona fide option for a winning roster.
Last year, he proved that and stunk it out.
in his defense, he still managed to put up 40-plus points last year. I think he had like 45, 46 points last year. The HFI wasn't there last year. It sort of bottomed out at a 1.2. He was a 1.4 the season before that, which is worthy of inclusion on a winning roster. He had 51 points in 81 games that year. 18 power play points. He's got 4 points in his last 20 games. 1 goal on 56 shots. No power play points. He's a minus player. I mean, this is a situation that has changed for him in terms of responsibility and in terms of context. So we need to adjust, if we haven't, our perspective when it comes to Pietrangelo's file. Look back at his career best years. I mean, he's only got 3 power play points this year, okay? He's only 25 years old, which is amazing, but we expect him to be a 50-point guy. And he is that, but is he getting the power play looks to feed those numbers, to meet those expectations? Doesn't appear that way. His career best was 2011-2012. 51 points in 81 games, 12 goals, 24 power play points, and a plus 16. But we're talking about a guy with 12 and 34 now and the worst HFI of his career at 0.9. So is he a fantasy option? He is not an option.
Nope. I bought high beginning of last year.
On Pietrangelo?
And he disappointed me all year. And you know me, I just can't let go of sometimes.
No, it's hard. You don't want to get burnt.
You don't want to get burnt because, you know, it's ebb and flowed. You know, just same thing with Subban in context. Like, he's still one of the best.
Of course.
Defensemen in the league. He's just not one of the top 5 best.
Yeah, or producers from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
Of course. You know. It's not like an intangible hockey conversation. It's anyways, of course.
Numbers don't lie.
Exactly. Bob Murray. Well, numbers are incredibly powerful. It's actually something I've been studying all week. I've been into numerology, the power of symbols, and it's fantastic stuff to study. I will say, as a side note, they are, in fact, very powerful. Bob Murray.
You feel shame.
I'm just going to hold my nose though, this whole section.
Look, man, this has been bugging me for a couple of weeks now. If you listen to the fantasy show we did last year at SiriusXM, you know the Pittsburgh Penguins have been a fascinating conversation on many levels. And the fact that they brought in Rutherford to run that team still boggles the mind. But Bob Murray doesn't seem to be getting the same amount of heat and criticism that Rutherford's been getting in Pittsburgh. And maybe it's because the Ducks play out west and there's this idea that people pay less attention to them, but I don't pay less attention to teams on the West Coast. So it's been hard for me to overlook the fact that Bob Murray has got to be kicking himself about a couple of things, Wayno. He's paying Chris Stewart to play for that team, which still, I still don't understand that.
Not sure how that happened.
I get it that you're going to take chances. People think that they can, you know, put a player in a different situation, you'll have just different results, and I get that. Fit, context. But Chris Stewart getting 1.7 against their cap this year. Kyle Palmieri's getting 1.4 against New Jersey's cap. He's got 9 goals in his last 21 games, 15 points. He's now got 25 points in 34 games, 13 goals, playing over 16 minutes on average every night for the New Jersey Devils. 12 power play points, 5 power play goals. What the fuck has Chris Stewart done? He's barely playing 11 minutes on average for the Ducks. 10 points in 30 games, 6 goals, 1 lousy power play point. As expected. Now, maybe they were looking at Hagelin as the guy that would really step into someone like Palmieri's shoes. But Hagelin, 4 million times 4, he's been a bust. Do you know that only one Duck has more than 1 power play goal?
Not surprised.
How the hell does that happen? Now, the Dupre situation, losing Simone Dupre on the blue line to the concussion, that's got to hurt. But the Kessler contract, like, to me, that's a head-scratcher. Giving up a second to bring in Bieksa, who, by the way, has 4 points in 31 games, a minus 7, no goals. When you had Beauchemin, But you didn't want to keep him around, pay him any more money. So he takes 3 years at 4.5 from Colorado. And what's he done for them, Waino?
He's been everything. He's the rock that allows all the other kids to play the game and clean up the mistakes. He's been exactly what they needed.
Exactly. 19 points in 34 games, 7 power play points, a plus player for them. The 1.3 defenseman HFI that Boschman's put up this year matches his career best. Lockout shortened season 2012-2013 when he had 24 points in 48 games. His 1.3 this year is better than any Ducks defenseman. It's better than Vatanen's 1.2. Vatanen's only got 16 points in 31 games, 3 shitty power play points. And there's Boschman sort of being Mr. Everything for the Avalanche, as who we said earlier are now rolling. Seem to be playing with some confidence, getting the goaltending, and getting a steadying force on the blue line in the name of Francois Beauchemin. So, shame on you, Bob Murray. I don't know what the hell you're doing.
That team just reeks of... They need multiple changes.
Oh.
Probably starting up top, just so everyone understands, okay, this was a disaster. And, like, they've got talented enough players that they could, like, make it a interesting season.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Are you going to trust Bob Murray to be the guy to fix that?
Well, and I guess that's why you got to start at the top, right? And there's more than one change needs to happen. And sooner than later, if there's any hope, at least for the 15-16.
Let's take things out on a positive note here. Some radar love. Thomas Vanek, where the hell you been? It appears he's back. 13th best left wing HFI in the NHL. So if you took all the players eligible for left wing this year and ranked them through the HFI filter, Thomas Vanek is the 13th best option in the 1.6 peer group, occupied by players like Rick Nash, Gabriel Landeskog, Matt Zuccarello, Patrick Marleau, who's been a little bit better than expected, JVR, who's recently been very good for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thomas Vanek doesn't sound great, but in today's NHL, this is actually pretty respectable. He's now up to 24 points in 31 games, 11 goals on 68 shots, 8 power play points. He's a plus player. He's only 31 years old. I mean, we've written him off because
so many times
nobody really likes the asterisks that you should have on his file, the intangible character-driven question marks that we all have about Thomas Vanek. But in his defense, he has 10 consecutive 20-goal seasons going on.
Yeah, sneaky.
And you know what? That's including the 12-13 season with the lockout when he only played 38 games. He racked up 20 goals that year. So how many players in the NHL can say that through the lockout season they have a 10-plus consecutive season streak of 20 goals or more? Yeah,
interesting.
Not many, I bet, Waino.
I'm betting.
He was a 2.3 HFI 3 years ago, of course, famously in Buffalo during that lockout shortened season, then a 1.9 and a 1.3 in Minnesota, earning the disrespect associated with his file. I shouldn't say disrespect, the lack of faith in the file, because it's been a dwindling number. Well, he's back up to 1.6. Waino, if he keeps this going over the next couple of months, he'll be back into the conversation and meet the 1.7 requirement to be on your team, and he seems to be on his way there. Another player who seems to be having it turn, and we talked about this last week, we gave him shit pretty good. But we also said go out and consider getting yourself Jake the Snake Voracek, because as it seems to be, water finds its level in this game, and we expected, or I don't know, I wouldn't say expected, but we theorized that the second half of this season would be a productive one for Voracek, and that he would match, maybe not quite the pace, but the productivity would be more like the first half of last season. than the first half of this one. And maybe it's turning. He's got 16 points in his last 19 games now. And since the switch to the left wing, there have been some productive nights. So don't sleep on that. The Jake watch continues, and it's still going up. Before we completely abandon the Colorado Avalanche, touched on that Martinson, Soderberg, Blake Como line getting in on the act. Well, Soderberg's actually got 16 points in his last 20 games, 13 even strength points, which I like to see. He's also getting some second power play looks with Jerome and Tange up front. Everyone went to sleep on the Soderberg file, generally speaking, because of those first 14 games. He only had 6 points. It was a lousy start, as it was for many Colorado Avalanche files. But since the 8th of November, rocking a 1.5 that keeps going up. On par with Brendan Saad, who's also looking much better these days. 14 points in his last 20 games. On par with MacKinnon, actually, who's only got 14 in his last 20. On par with Jussi Jokinen, who's been a resurgent file for the Florida Panthers with 15 points in his last 20 games. Waino on par with Tyler Bozak, who I can't believe has a very quiet 14 points in his last 17 games. Not sure how he's managed to do that.
Under the radar, just like the whole team.
Just like the whole team,
and
yeah.
Uncle Leo, right?
That's just like Uncle Leo. Teddy Purcell, don't drop your Purcell. 16 in 20 now. 16 in his last 20. I just can't buy in. I can't have him on my team. But if you don't have that bias and you took that chance 20 games ago, you're happy today because you know it's been productive. And Scotty Hartnell all over the place, but 15 points in his last 19 games. So good for you, Carl Soderberg. You're back in the conversation on par with some pretty good players there that people aren't afraid to invest in. So what I'm saying is have some faith in Soderberg. Don't be too afraid to invest there because there is some good stuff brewing.
Spread the love.
Spread the love. And that's a good way to end things. It is the season that we put our bad vibes aside and we try to look at things with a heartfelt, loving, warm, positive approach. And that's what I wish for everyone listening to this podcast. I hope you have a happy and healthy rest of 2015, and we'll catch up with you, I guess, one more time, right, before the end of the year? One more?
27.
Yeah, so we'll have one more, 28th of December, so check in with you next Monday. May your points be met.
Bye.